on it.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. God, there's so much to talk about here on the 7th of January. We've got football coming up tomorrow, biggest game in Georgia. I'm going to call it Georgia history. And we've got it covered here for you, home of the dogs. My kids are so excited between wearing red for the Falcons and wearing red for the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, it's like Christmas again. It just keeps on coming. So today, by the way, coverage right after Money Matters here. So call it 11 o'clock. Guess who you get to hang out with? Dave Baker and Jay Black together. I mean, that I can't think of a better combination, by the way, to talk football, SEC football. They're going to have on, they'll have Chuck Dowdle on, they're going to have Mark Bradley from the AJC, and just a host of guests. It's going to be like better than the Today Show mixed with SEC football and then Dave Baker / Jay Black. So it's going to probably be one of the best shows you're going to ever hear. And we're just going to get you warmed up for the game. Tomorrow, pregame coverage, 2 p.m., Mark Arum will begin. And then he'll, of course, have Hondo on, Jeff Butler, all the way until 8:10 when you get to hear the best commentators, really, I would say, in the nation. Scott Howard and Eric Zier, are there any better game commentators to listen to than those two guys? I can't find any that are better. So it's just an exciting time to be here in Atlanta, to be in the state of Georgia. We are in the heart of football country. And guess what? Football country, we are the center of the universe when it comes to college football. And that's not going anywhere anytime soon. There's a gravitational pull right around the city of Atlanta, now Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Can you believe that we get to have this game here? Alabama comes over, Georgia comes over. It is just so fitting that this stadium is up and running and ready to go for the world to watch. Hopefully one of the best football games that we will see in many, many years. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. It's not a football show. There's going to be plenty of football as soon as we're finished today at 11 o'clock. Moving through the rest of the day and, of course, tomorrow. So stay tuned. We are your home of the dog. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. There's an awful lot going on in the world of your wallet, your money, your 401k, everything that we talk about here on the show. I don't even know where to start today. We'll do a quick market recap. I want to talk about I am worried, though. I do have a – I'll get serious for a minute. My worry is that, and I don't know if it's as many of you listening, it might be my readers from the AJC, and I got a lot of letters over the last, let's call it the last month, and I'm worried that politics, like never before, and there's always been polarization, but we've never had a country that's so divided and so polarized when it comes to politics. And the worry with that is that politics clouds your judgment, and it clouds the judgment of such a big part of our nation as we become polarized. And that polarizes you and blinds you, not you particularly, but if you have an angst against the administration today and you can't stand Trump in the White House, right? Then it's hard. You don't even want to hear that things are good. And to some extent, we heard the same clamoring when Obama was in office. And if you hated Obama, you didn't want to hear that the economy was good under Obama. And the same thing's happening today under the Trump administration, but it's even worse. So I put out a letter that talks about tax reform. And you know that I've been on the forefront of tax reform. We've been talking about it all of 2017. We talked about the Trump PR tax book tour tsunami that relates back to tax reform, meaning that he was going to go on a big tax reform book tour / PR tsunami, and it worked. Ultimately, the nation was behind tax reform. Congress came together, did tax reform. huge part of the country said it'd never get done. We talked about it for months, said it would get done. Of course, it did. And it did before we even thought it would get done. It's already in the books. It's law. Happened at the end of 2017. And the problem, though, is that, so I write this letter that says, look, tax reform is going to add to the economy. It's going to be $205 billion worth of economic stimulus. Companies are going to have more in their pockets. Individuals are going to have more in their pockets. And it's going to generate economic growth without question for the next couple of years, particularly right here in 2018 and 19 as the beginning push of this tax reform hits the economy in a good way, in a very good way. And that's just, I went back and looked at 2003 with Bush tax cuts, with much smaller tax overhaul. It wasn't even an overhaul. It was really just a tax cut. It was about $350 billion over 5 years, which this tax cut is $1.5 trillion over 10 years. So it's dwarfed in year and longevity and size. And I'm just looking at 03 as an analogous and saying, look, GDP doubled and stayed much higher once the tax cuts were enacted. Well, this is more than just tax cuts, but let's just call it just purely from the size of economic stimulus. More money in your pocket to spend, i.e. economic stimulus. More money in companies' earnings because they're paying less in taxes. Okay, all good things for the market, for economic growth, for economic development, for our psyche, for how we feel as a nation, our confidence moving forward. Hey, I don't think my taxes are going up anymore. They actually went down and they're not going up anytime soon. These are all things that contribute to a brighter outlook for most people. And just using history as a guide, we said, look, it's going to be good for the economy in 2018. Well, you cannot imagine the hate mail that we have received because of that. I haven't even mentioned anything about politics. Nothing. Zero. Didn't say, hey, good job, bad job. Didn't talk about how I was excited that it happened. Didn't say that I was disappointed that it happened. Just, it happened. Economic fact. It's coming. Hate mail. Hate mail. To say that we are, the fact that I think it's going to be good for the economy is that I am trying to, that I am, here's one email. Let's go right to this. One email I received. You are a libertarian. I don't know where they get that because I'm not really. Trump-loving scum. That's one of the first letters I've gotten in just the last few weeks. All of the beep tax cuts are going to the filthy rich. Again, not true. Totally misinformed person. Next letter. Mr. Moss, you are blinded, sir, by rose glasses and Republican red lies. What? We're not talking about any, not being political here, not being partisan here. We're just looking at the economic history books, what happened when we had tax reform and tax cuts, what it did to the economy, and using that as a guide to figure out what's going to happen in 2018 so that you and I know what we should be doing with our investments. It helps guide where we should be invested in 2018. We've got to understand the economy. The one thing that we can understand, if we can understand the economy, we can understand earnings. Very difficult to understand the stock market itself in any given week, month, or even year because of all the other variables that impact markets. Confidence, how we feel, emotion, outside exogenous events, all of these other things also play into the market. But economists and what I spend a lot of my time studying, we can understand what's going to happen to the economy because there are less emotional variables that can swing the economy up and down in any given day, like the stock market. So we do our best to figure out the general direction, the macro look, the big picture look of where we're headed as a nation and a globe economically. And then that helps us figure out earnings. And that's a slightly easier job than figuring out the daily moves or iterations of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. So we at least figure that out so that we know the general direction of the tide of where our nation is taking us economically. And that's it. And that is what we are trying to do. And we're not playing politics here. I try my best not to bring politics into the conversation here on Money Matters. There's a lot of other shows that do that right here on this station. This is one of the great things about WSB Radio. We are news. We are talk. I'm going by economic history and look and and see what happened when people ended up with more money in their pocket. Post 03, again, $350 billion. Today, this is $1.5 trillion. And oh, by the way, these are real reforms here that could have a fundamental impact on how we do business in America. Lower taxes on small business owners get a break. Big companies get 100% expensing under this new tax law. What does that mean? It means that they can buy some big machine, and instead of writing it off over 14 years or 7 years or 9 years, they can buy it today, and they're going to expense the whole thing this year. Giant write-off. Well, that's an incentive for companies to buy now. And companies, by the way, get to do that for the next 5 years. 100% expensing. It's a big deal in this tax code. It doesn't get talked about a lot. But what are these companies going to do with all this extra money? Well, they're going to have more earnings. And, they're going to do what's called CapEx, capital expenditures on new stuff to make them more productive and move forward. It helps them invest in their businesses, not just pay down debt. Corporate tax reform that says, hey, you may have a small amount of tax. You have to, by the way. All that money you've been storing overseas, you got to pay tax on it. I don't care what you do with it, but you're going to pay taxes on it. So, okay, now they can bring it back. They're going to pay a 14.5% to 7% tax on that money overseas. Now you can bring back $2.6 trillion in cash that's been sitting offshore. The idea that entrepreneurship might be incentivized as all these business owners bring back cash, well, and it's for the corporate space, bring that money back here to the United States. Do we not think that's going to be good for the economy? That's not a political issue. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about taxes. I'm talking about corporate balance sheets. I'm just talking about business as we move forward. And then we're going to give, again, go back to small business owners. There are a lot of small business owners, and some folks may not qualify for this within the service sector. There's some limitations on this and the amount of money you make. But many small business owners are going to get a 20% deduction on their business income. And that gives this economy, I think, another shot in the arm, another incentive to grow. And since we've been stuck for the last 8 years, 9 years, averaging 1.9 to 2% in growth, how is it a political statement to implement some new ideas that might stimulate the economy? So just remarkable the blinders that Americans have when it comes to their politics influencing what they think will happen to this economy. And if you've had your head in the sand for an entire year because you think the world is ending because you don't like who's in Washington, you missed out on a 22% stock market last year. You missed out on a ton of economic growth. And you're sitting here as the train has left the station. And it's time to just take off the blinders and look at reality, look at the economic reality, and start to figure out how to use it to your advantage. How do you play the cards that you were dealt? And that's what we're here doing every Sunday morning, figuring out how to play the cards we are dealt. All right, we have a lot to talk about today. Tax changes, actually some pretty important nuanced tax changes that impact Georgia taxpayers under the new federal tax changes. We're going to talk about some of the companies that have already rushed to bonus people up because of the new tax plan, the raising minimum wages, all real live stuff, not economic theory, facts. When Money Matters returns, straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. And of course, home of the dogs. Good morning. We've got an awful lot coming your way over the next 2 days here. Stay tuned right after Money Matters. You have Dave Baker and Jay Black. Talking about getting you ready and pumped up for Georgia, Alabama, which will be on Monday. And, of course, starting 2 o'clock tomorrow, you got Mark Arum taking us into the game that begins at 8:10, or coverage of the game coverage, 8:10. So what other place but right here, WSB Radio, home of the dogs. My kids are so excited. They're wearing red and black all weekend, all tomorrow. They should have just canceled school for Monday and Tuesday. At the very least, you've got little kids, like my kids are going to stay up for the game. They're going to be up till midnight. They should at least have like a half day in school the next day. maybe like school starts at 11 instead of 7:30 in the morning. These kids are going to be a mess all day tomorrow, all day on Tuesday morning. That's really where we should have the holiday. Anyway, good morning. We're talking about the tax changes, how they impact the economy on a macro level, big picture perspective. And what I'm worried about is that we have this clouded judgment as a nation. So if we don't like the political party that's in charge, we discount anything that happens to be good news. And it happens more and more and more emphatically, and it has over the last decade. Okay. So we've been talking, so I want to help you figure out the tax changes and then the impact of those tax changes. We're going to do that here on the show, and there's some new wrinkles that they're not new. Everything's new because it's a brand new tax bill that impacts Georgia taxpayers. I am not a CPA. I'm not a full-time tax guy. But I'm a certified financial planner. So my focus, of course, is on investments, and taxes come into that equation from a planning perspective. But I don't spend my fall, or let's call it the spring, February, March, April, doing tax returns. But I've always been fascinated in taxes. I love the topic of taxation, or figuring out what taxes mean and how to be most efficient and not overpaying in taxes, and really been fascinated by the new tax reform because it has such big economic implications. I have spent hundreds of hours in the last several months, or in the last month, or really couple months, because we kind of knew what was coming down the pike before the end of the year, trying to figure out and understand what all these changes are going to mean for you, for our clients, for our listeners. And hence, I'm giving you all of that right here on the show, what our educated guesses, because again, I'm not a CPA, and quite frankly, most CPAs are still, I can tell you, almost every single CPA, and I talked to four different firms this week trying to help me understand, they're trying to figure it out too. So it is brand new, and you're getting my educated guess on how tax reform will impact you, not just on a macro perspective, but directly. And that's why we've been doing the Trump tax reform calculator and answering your calls and questions on what it means for your particular taxes. And by the way, we'll do that again today. So that tax calculator that we've been using to give us an estimation on what it means for your taxes, it's gotten even more and more specific. So they keep, as they roll out exactly what's happening to the tax code, they're adding that to the calculator. And what they've done is they've actually added more specific changes on anybody who pays AMT, alternative minimum tax. So if you are paying AMT, I want you to go find your 1040 in the next hour and a half, and we will tell you if your alternative minimum tax piece of the tax equation will go up or down. And you can call us here in the studio, 404-872-0750. We'll answer your tax questions or estimations moving forward here on Money Matters. So much to do. Stick with us here on this beautiful, chilly morning here. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. It is 26 degrees on Peachtree. It's warm in the studio, and there's a lot to be excited about. Everyone here wearing the red and their black. It is Georgia Bulldogs weekend, and this Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Stadium is the center of the, not just the SEC, but the center of the college football universe. And WSB is fortunately the home of that universe, home of the Dogs, right after Money Matters here. So we got to talk money. So the game is so expensive to go to. And Ryan, we need to, let's look at some ticket prices, because I don't know where they stand today, but I know that you're talking a couple $1,000 to go to the game. I'm sure you can find something for maybe a little bit less. We're going to give you a ticket price update for the game. I just thought about this. A good friend of mine has those really nice seats at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium for Falcons. And then along with the package that he has, we're talking about all these other games like the college football championship, which you're going to see tomorrow. I bet you anything for the tickets that he purchased, and again, for this game, I bet you he pays for his entire, he might pay for the whole thing, his whole license and founder seat just out of this one game. Turns out to maybe be a good investment. We're going to bring you those numbers here. We need to talk about how expensive it is to go to this game. So at 11 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. 11 o'clock, we have Dave Baker, my good friend Dave Baker, and Jay Black covering the, they're going to be down at the Georgia World Congress Center covering, talking football. And they're going to have some, they're going to have Chuck Dowd on, they're going to have Mark Bradley from the AJC on. And you want to stay tuned. And they're talking football. And they are going to be on right after Money Matters. So I want you to stay tuned for that. Talk about a dynamic duo. Put those two guys together. Jay Black, Dave Baker. I don't even know what's going to happen. You put those two guys together. So stay tuned here on Money Matters. And we're talking, so in the next hour and a half, we still have time to figure out how you're going to pay to go to this game, this experience, once in a lifetime. Hopefully not once in a lifetime. But we're talking about taxes, and we're talking about the impact of those taxes on the economy. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio. We are live this Sunday morning, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Just a couple of, again, we're going back to, I look at the world we live in, and there is just this complete polarization in America politically, and it blinds so many Americans to what's really happening in the real economy. And I'm floored by how political people want to make the topic of economics. About half the country is so clouded by how much they hate the new administration, they will not even admit that the economy is doing well. And I guess you could say the same thing before the Trump administration in office. There were people that hated Obama so much that they couldn't even stomach to admit that the economy is actually doing well at any given point in time. Same thing's happening today, but even more extreme. My hate mail, flooded in over the last several weeks. And ever since I started talking about the topic or the impact of tax reform, people immediately think that's a political issue. I've said the tax reform could double GDP over the next growth rate over the next 2 to 3 years, just like what happened after the 2003 tax cuts. And I've been calling these tax cuts shock and awe tax reform because it is. The package equates to an immediate $205 billion in stimulus for the U.S. economy in 2018. That's over 1% of GDP, and it could potentially end up being much more than that. This package is decidedly bigger than the Bush tax cuts. And I think looking at GDP before and after the 2003 cuts was it's a useful exercise. And we've gone over that before. The emails that I've been getting, though, they're pretty nasty. And they're trying to politicize. My job is just to talk about economics. I'm not trying to be political here at all. But I get these letters that, hey, say that you're a Trump-loving scum. And the bleeping tax cuts are all going to the filthy rich. Here's another one. You are blinded, sir, and this was a nice one, by rose glasses and Republican red lies. What? I am trying my best not to bring politics into this. I'm just trying to go by economic history. Let me give you a couple of concrete ideas of what's happening because of this tax reform, and then we'll go to the phones here. The Bank of James, I don't even know where the Bank of James is, but they increased their wage base to $15 per hour for employees serving more than a year and increased employee vacation days. That's a real change. Carl Black Automotive Group, bonuses for 500 employees based on years of service. Rush Enterprises, got some good clients and friends over at Rush. $1,000 bonuses for 6,600 employees. Ocean First Bank increased their wage base to $15 an hour. These are little companies I'm talking about. Now, here's a big one. Wells Fargo increased their wage base from $13.50 an hour to $15 an hour. That's a real number, and that's a permanent change. That's a permanent change. That's just not just a Christmas bonus. $13.50 an hour to go to $15 is a $1.50 increase on $13.50. It's an 11 0.1% pay increase. That's gonna stick. That's something that happened post this tax cut because of the tax cut. Comerica, $1,000 bonus to 4,500 people. Comcast, $1,000 bonus for 100,000 people. I mean, this. I have multiple pages of big, middle, and small companies doing something because of the tax. Fifth Third Bancorp, $1,000 bonuses for 13,500 people. First Financial Northwest, don't even know where they are. $1,000 bonuses for all non-executive employees. First Hawaiian Bank, you can figure out where they are. $1,500 bonuses for 2,264 employees. First Horizon National Corporation, $1,000 bonuses for 4,000 employees. As the list goes on and on and on between bonuses and wage increases because of this tax reform. So these are real changes. These are not, I'm not being political here. I'm just talking about the economic reality that we now live in. The brightness on our screen just turned up a little bit. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's a wonderful development from an economic standpoint. And there's no politics in that. And I want you to take off your political glasses and just understand what's happening in the economy. And it'll make you a much better investor. Let's go to the phones here again. The phone line's open. 404-872-0750 is the line here in the studio. Give us a call this Sunday morning. We're going. It's 2018. It's the new year. We're back live, full force, Money Matters, live financial talk show, the most objective financial advice you're going to find on any talk show you find in the United States of America. If you're outside of Georgia, Texas, California, Michigan, our listeners, Pennsylvania, and then above, in even more chilly New England, give us a call. 1-800-WSB-TALK is the line in the studio. Again, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Go to the phones here. Gene joins us from Powder Springs. Gene, what's going on? How can I help?
I've got a question. As part of my Vanguard retirement, I'm invested in energy and healthcare, and I've heard you talk a lot about the ETFs, okay? And I'm trying to understand, is it advantageous for me to switch my energy and my healthcare to an ETF rather than just a mutual fund? And for what reason? I mean, is it more, do they pay more dividends, or is it cost lower?
So a couple of thoughts here. There is a wonderfully large and complicated continuum when it comes to ETFs versus mutual funds. And I'll try to simplify it for you. Really, the reason we talk so much about ETFs is that in general, and if you take Vanguard out of the equation, in general, mutual funds, actively managed mutual funds, are run by a research team and a portfolio manager, and they're trying to outperform or beat some sort of index, Gene. And in doing so, they it costs you. It costs you anywhere from 0.75% a year up to 1.5% a year. Some mutual funds are still in the 2% a year range. And and the problem with that is that what we've found over time is that even though you've got typically a very smart group of people, the inherent costs of running that mutual fund drag down the performance for a lot of these actively managed funds, and it's been hard for them to beat the index. So the opposite side, so that's active investing. On the other side of that equation are passive investors that will say, look, I'm just going to go into the S&P 500 index fund that essentially has, it's not zero cost, but let's say an index fund that tracks the S&P 500 index, a mutual fund that does that, called an index fund, might only be 0.1%. So it's much cheaper. And because it doesn't have any cost, it gives it kind of this, it's running a race it's got a backpack on it that's real light as opposed to a heavy backpack, right?
Okay.
So it over time, these index funds have done a good job of outpacing a lot of actively managed funds. Now, there's a lot of other commentary about that. We've been in kind of a unique environment in the last decade since the financial crisis. You've got all of this massive intervention from the government that has kind of propped everything up, right? So what that's done, quantitative easing by the Federal Reserve, it's made the system different than it's ever been. So there's been more guardrails for companies to kind of operate through this financial crisis and as this economy has come back. And it's made it even harder for actively managed portfolio managers in mutual funds, because it's kind of lifted all boats, and it's been harder for managers to discern. Well, we've got there's a massive amount of companies that are publicly traded that still don't make a profit, but in the last period of time, interestingly, it hasn't mattered, because there's been all this financial engineering and intervention that's propped up even bad companies. So it's been harder for portfolio managers to find winners and losers, because kind of everybody's been a winner, and that's helped make the passive route, just low cost passive, it's made it even more appealing. And the reason I talk about ETFs is that ETFs in general are a cheaper version of mutual funds. And if you've got a really inexpensive mutual fund that is now in the form of an ETF, then it gives you an advantage over time. What's happened, though, is that now we've got hundreds and hundreds, or really thousands, of ETFs now. Most of them are passive. Some of them are active. But the good news for you, though, Gene, is that in general, because of the evolution of ETFs, which are an evolution of passive index funds, it's brought the cost of all these things down. And that's what matters, is that you want to make sure that the ETFs or the mutual funds that you're using have a really low cost barrier to them, or a low cost burden to them. And that's what matters. Now, it doesn't matter if it's a mutual fund that's a passive mutual fund that's a tenth of a percent a year, or an ETF that's a tenth of a percent a year. It doesn't matter. Both are low cost. And as long as you're avoiding really high cost mutual funds, for investors, that's what matters. That's at least one of the first ways you can weed out your investments. Now, there's another conversation, and we'll get to in this hour, that whether active managers might actually do better in the next 5 years than they've done in the past. The pendulum might very well be swinging in that direction. We'll see. But for purposes of this conversation, it doesn't matter if you're using a low-cost mutual fund or a low-cost ETF. The predominance, or the important piece of this equation, is low cost.
Okay.
And that's the point. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. You can find me and the Money Matters team. We're in Atlanta. Find us online at wesmoss.com. We're here to answer your questions, help you through the complicated pieces of being an investor in this environment that we're in, the economy that we're in. You can find us and our team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. More Money Matters right here on WSB, straight ahead. Yeah, these tickets are expensive. Let's just check out some of these ticket prices. College football national championship. So right in the break, Ryan and I are on StubHub trying to figure out what it costs at this point if you want to go to the game. Cheapest tickets we found. The cheapest tickets we found. $1,540. These are like, in Ryan's description, these seats are gross. These are like the worst. Now, granted, Mercedes-Benz Stadium is not really a bad seat in the house, but these are like the worst seats you can possibly get. And these are $1,540. But there's a giant service fee if you go. Really, most of these ticket brokers, it's around 15%. So the service fee on these things is almost $400. That's $372. So really, you want to get two tickets, the very worst possible seats to this game. See Georgia and Alabama, and it might be worth it, particularly if you're an alum and a fan. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Hopefully not once-in-a-lifetime. Almost $4,000 to go to the game for two people, $3,824. Now, this is let me up this one more. There are two tickets for sale on StubHub to the game, and this is, you know, get out your wallet. Get out your wallet. This might only be a guy like Ryan Ely could afford this. Lower end zone, section 102, row 42, seats 5 and 6. Ready for this? $1 million. $1 million each. So you've got $1 million for each seat for sale right now, for the for the low, low, low price of $1 million. Now, remember, so now to get these two tickets, it's $2 million, right? Well, don't forget the service fee, because the service fee is, again, looks like it's 15%. So the service fee is going to be 300 grand. I think you could buy a car for that.
Like the new Bentley SUV for that, yeah.
So to get two tickets, row 42, seats 5 and 6, $2,304.98, to be exact. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. And you know what? If you were to, I would not, so that's obviously an absolute fan. They've got the seats. They're like, I'm going to this game unless somebody pays me $1 million for these seats. I would not be shocked if those seats get sold. It would not shock me if somebody, Ryan, what were we talking about? Brad Pitt just paid
He bid $120,000 to watch Game of Thrones with Emilia Clarke.
And Emilia Clarke, I guess, is the main girl in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, you can see his logic.
Got it.
It makes sense.
What's her name? Khaleesi?
Khaleesi.
Khaleesi. Even I know that. And I don't even watch Game of Thrones. It's not a show that I've ever even really watched. I know it's a good show. I just didn't. It feels like a heavy show to get into, and I've never been able to really do that. So. But again, people pay for stuff they love. People pay for experiences, and this is an enormously engaging experience. It's in the coolest stadium in America that's ever been built. I've been there a couple times. We went to the Falcons game last weekend and watched the Falcons play the Panthers, Cam Newton, and it's just a phenomenal place. It's a phenomenal place, and I wouldn't be surprised if these tickets sell for $1 million. $2.3 million for the pair, pretty remarkable. So,
and for our listeners wondering if StubHub has a graded fee schedule, we just found out the answer is no. 15% regardless.
No matter what. Unbelievable. Well, there's a lot of money to meet. A lot of money in the ticket industry. There's just a lot of money in it. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Hey, listen, I'm not going to recommend you buy those tickets, but we're here to help you pay for them. So. We've got an entire hour of Money Matters coming up. We've got the country that's blinded by politics, and they're not looking at the real economic picture. It's probably not you listening, but it might be your neighbor. It might be somebody else. Let's get them out. Let's get their head out of the sand. This economy is going to do well in 2018. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Stay tuned. Find me and the Money Matters team, WesMoss.com. More Money Matters in the 10 o'clock hour straight ahead.